Module 5, Lesson 3, Self-Settling and Self-Soothing. Another thing that causes a lot of confusion for parents regarding attachment and sleep that we need to clear up is the difference between how psychologists and sleep scientists use the terms self-settling or self-soothing. So in psychology, those two terms, self-soothing or self-settling, refer to the ability to self-regulate emotions. And it's generally understood this ability to self-regulate emotions starts to develop in the first few months of life, but it's not completely developed until adulthood. However, those two terms, self-settling or self-soothing, they were actually first used in the context of sleep when a sleep scientist was referring to the ability that a child has to independently fall asleep and also put themselves back to sleep when they go through light sleep phases. This was at a breakthrough moment in sleep science because researchers realized a few decades ago that when babies slept, they weren't actually just asleep, but that they and every other human, including us as adults, were cycling through the various sleep stages, arousing slightly between sleep cycles, and there were some babies who simply were able to fall back to sleep more independently in comparison to some babies who couldn't. And then they discovered that the babies who were able to initially fall asleep without too much external help were also the ones that were more likely to connect their sleep cycle through the night without needing help. So we often hear the accusation that babies should not be sleep trained to independently self-settle to sleep, meaning to fall asleep independently, because they are emotionally immature and not physically able to self-settle, meaning to regulate their emotions. This is a really confusing use of the same term, but in two different ways in the same sentence, right? And it often leads to that sleep training just getting a really bad rap because people assume that sleep training involves forcing a child to sleep in a certain way, regardless of their developmental, emotional, or biological needs. But when we think about it, actually in reality, provided with the right conditions, every baby is born with the ability to fall asleep independently. We as humans are physiologically made to rest, to sleep, to restore our energy. We need that. And of course, some babies find this process of settling easier than others, but all babies have that innate ability to fall asleep from the moment that they're born. They don't need anyone to teach them physiologically how to sleep. So when we refer to encouraging self-settling through sleep training, we're thinking about how can we make the process of falling asleep as easy as possible for the child. And we can do that by making sure that they are not overtired, that they're placed in a sleep-conducive environment, that they're well-fed, and that they feel safe in their bed. In all of this, we also acknowledge that babies and toddlers are emotionally immature and that they may not be able to regulate their emotions on their own. So in all of the methods and suggestions that we use, we want to make sure that your child knows that you are there for them to support them and give them security to help them co-regulate their emotions when upset during the sleep training process. We can't avoid some of those upset emotions because changing patterns and habits will most likely cause some frustration. But just because your little one needs some reassurance to calm them down from those heightened emotions does not mean that they are physiologically incapable of falling asleep independently. Those are two different skill sets. It can be helpful to keep in mind that you've actually been sleep training your child every time you put them to sleep since they were born, whether you were aware of it or not. The way that we as parents approach sleep actually teaches our child what to expect when it comes to bedtime. So if we always rock them to sleep, that's how they know how to fall asleep. If they are encouraged to self-settle in bed with the comforting presence of a parent nearby, that is the habit that they're going to learn. So that's just what we mainly want to keep in mind, is that our every action and expectation shapes our child's habits both in the short and long term. And we can just be mindful of those messages that we're sending and the patterns that we're teaching them and make adjustments when necessary.